Good morning. I'm very honored to be able to speak today. This is my first oral presentation at American Public Health Association. So my talk today is a test of a conceptual model on looking at racial pride components in an intervention context, condom use self-efficacy and actual condom use in a population that's heavily affected by HIV, so post-incarcerated African-American men who have sex with men and women. I have no disclosures or financial relationships, so I'm going to focus specifically on Los Angeles County right now. So compared to other regions in the United States, you know, generally male-to-male sexual contact seems to be the primary accounts for the majority of HIV transmissions and infections, and this seems to be heavily shown in Los Angeles County, and so this is not a huge surprise here. Being incarcerated too, of course, has been well documented as a risk factor for HIV infection and transmission, and this is some data that we have, most recent data from HIV testing in LA County Jail specifically. It's important to note that this is not actually incidence rate here, but just positivity, new diagnosis rates. And so we see that the burden of new HIV infection falls heavily on African American communities over here in Los Angeles County, and men seem to be the most heavily affected as well. And a lot of this is basically from male-to-male sexual contact. These rates may not be generalizable to all of LA County jails, and especially since this is more of a targeted testing program, and we don't really have a sweeping testing program for all inmates because just the number of people incarcerated. You know, we also know that the burden of incarceration falls heavily on African American men. So, I mean, we have all these, comorbid societal structural burdens impacting this community, and so there's a lot of things to tackle right here. You know, so it's around 2005 we kind of noticed that African American men who have sex with men, it was not uncommon for them to also report having female partners. Oftentimes they were primary partners. They may or may not identify as gay or bisexual, and oftentimes they don't. You know, the behavioral interventions for HIV prevention started becoming popular around the late 90s, early 2000s, and what we found was that this one-size-fits-all approach is really not helping the communities that are, you know, I guess at the highest risk, not to sound, you know, pejorative or anything, but we just weren't doing much of a favor for this community. And so, you know, there's a lot of rational and intuitive reasons for including cultural affirmation in HIV prevention programs. And so, I mean, you know, for one thing, it's good to be validating in those ways. It's good to speak that language. And it also makes it more accessible. You're going to have higher retention rates. So, I mean, those are good reasons. But the degree to which racial pride actually augments HIV preventive behaviors, it's not fully understood. We look at racial pride components and other things such as reduction of substance use risk. We see it in sometimes nutrition behaviors and that sort of thing, but not so much in the context of HIV prevention interventions. And so originally there was our study team developed an intervention called MALES, which was targeted toward African-American men who have sex with men and women, generally, right? But the Men in Life Environments intervention was also trying to address the needs of those who are post-incarcerated, too. I mean, there's a lot to tackle right here, because you'll see, too, when we look at some of the descriptive statistics of this sample, is that there's other things going on, including homelessness, unemployment, that sort of thing. And so the MILE intervention tried, I thought, in some of the strengths was that it drawed upon a lot of different theories. And so, I mean, there's this rational thought models, these planned behavior models too, but it also accounts for other like more like structural and societal level factors as well. So it also accounted for empowerment theory and critical thinking and cultural affirmation, which is a model that is adapted from social cognitive theory, excuse me. And so these theories were applied kind of together in this cross-cutting way. So the idea was that we'd foster racial pride as a means to instill condom use confidence and reduce condomless sex in this population. So the objectives of our study was just to assess the conceptual model that we were looking at right here. Like, is racial pride really its own social determinant of HIV preventive behaviors? And so because of the limited size of our data, we just looked at the following constructs. So it was racial pride, condom use, self-efficacy, intentions, and frequency of condomless sex. So we recruited those with a history of incarceration going within the past 12 months in general, and so we also looked at sexual partners within the past 3 months. Usually we're looking for bisexual people who are bisexually active, of course, and the only exclusion criteria really was that they were unable to speak or understand English. Because injection drug use is kind of its own separate concern, we did not have that as a component in the study. To reduce reporter bias, often we assessed our data using audio computer assisted self interviews. So basically, it was people were answering these surveys on the computer, which helps with reducing desirability bias in the participant responses. We had completed data for 190 participants, specifically for sexual activity with female partners, 177 participants with complete activity for sexual activity with male partners. Our constructs were actually tailored toward each of those types of behaviors. And participation occurred solely outside of jail, and a lot of recruitment occurred outside of jail just to make sure that these participants were not subject to direct or indirect coercion from the criminal justice system. And so this was our conceptual model here. We used a full structural equation modeling with a three-factor structure. So these are, I already talked about these constructs right here. Racial pride, we use an adaptive scale from Luke-Wago, and it was a five-item scale. And really it was trying to capture this notion of, you know, kind of embracing one's racial identity and having positive attitudes towards one's racial identity too. So we hypothesized that those with greater racial pride would have, you know, stronger sense of confidence in negotiating and using condoms, and in turn having higher intentions to use condoms, and then have lower rates of, or lower frequency of sex without condoms. Our descriptive analysis was with Stata 13, and then we used EQS for structural equation modeling. We had to test two separate models with three-factor structures for assessing sexual activity with women, and a separate one for sexual activity with men, because our constructs were actually use wording that were gender-specific for their partners. And then, of course, we included these various fit-ins indices and post-hoc Lagrange multiplier tests to account for parameters that were not accounted for in the original model. So, like, this was very theory-informed, and so sometimes what we find in reality is that it looks a little bit different. So this was our sample right here. So the mean age was about 40. This is not surprising, annual income was abysmally low. Some people reported having been married to women, and several people were cohabiting with female partners. A lot of them were homeless too, so they were not necessarily cohabiting. This makes sense, the majority of our participants identified as bisexual. Some identified as straight, and then also a small number identified as gay or homosexual. So, right, so just looking at this model right here, we see that racial pride had positive direct effects on condom use self-efficacy with women. So if you had higher racial pride, you had a higher sense of condom use self-efficacy, and this translated into greater intentions to use condoms with women. But you really see that these intentions were not translating into actual behavior in this group. So we had significant indirect effects, of racial pride on intentions as well. Model fit indices, after accounting for two correlated errors, showed significantly improved model fit. So our chi-squared was, it could be better, but our CFI was quite good, and our MSCA was within the bounds of, the 0.05 range. With men, however, we found that racial pride had significant indirect effects on actual behavior. So that's great. Racial pride, we saw significant direct effects on condom use self-efficacy, direct effects of that onto intentions, and then further on to less condomless sex, basically. The effect size was fairly low, but I'm going to talk about some model modification that I'm considering for this next iteration of this particular study. Model fit indices, again, appeared to be pretty good with the CFI and our MSCA in the 0.05 range. So it appears that those with greater racial pride were more confident in integrating their condoms into vaginal or intercourse with their partners. It seems that this intention behavior relationship is a little bit problematic. This idea of rational thought translating into behavior seems to not really be what's happening here, particularly with women. And so one of our co-authors, she did a related but separate study that was a qualitative analysis that found that women continued to engage in condomless intercourse with their partners, with their male partners, despite learning that they had past or concurrent sexual activity with other men. And so some of this is complicated by things like substance use, financial instability, and just wanting to retain that relationship with your intimate partner. And so these could be various to protective changes in sexual behavior, but if they have intentions to have safer sex with their male partners, and the men do too, there seems to be overlapping interests, but then not overlapping translating behavior. So this might mean that we might need to start addressing men who have sex with men and women and their partners as dyads in some of these interventions. And it seems that we need to address things that affect both parties, essentially. So while cultural tailing has shown to improve accessibility and retention in specifically in HIV preventive interventions, our findings suggest that racial pride has its own value as a health determinant, which is great. This emphasizes the benefits of incorporating positive representations of racial identity into holistic sexual health interventions for African American men, especially those that are focused on skills building and self-efficacy. And we know that this particular population that we're looking at, this community that we're looking at, has a lot of things going on for them. So to to empower those individuals in these other ways that are not just knowledge-based is, I think, a positive thing. Future research is needed to longitudinally examine the effects of racial pride and other sociocultural content and determinants on sexual practices. And we know that there's been a decrease in, I don't want to say support, but I think there's a lot of moral support for behavioral interventions, but we just see them dwindling, basically. Like, I know some existed in Los Angeles area and Orange County area, and they, a lot of those programs no longer exist. But I think that they'll continue to be serve as an important role in reducing the HIV risk of infection for post-incarcerated African American men who have sex with men and women, because, you know, there are a lot of combined burdens and barriers that for some of these new interventions that we have that are biomedical in nature, such as PrEP. So these are things like sexual minority stigma, racism, poverty, and it's not to say that these burdens are, we're not going to be able to overcome them, but I think that sometimes we need to kind of look at these things holistically and include other approaches too. I'm looking forward to other research efforts to identify and address culturally relevant content for these interventions and other ways of refining and improving the effectiveness of them. So our study, we have limited inferences about causality or directionality simply because we were looking at baseline data. And so I'm probably going to get some questions about this later, but since I have time right now, one of the reasons was that there was high respondent burden, I think, from the surveys that we had. And so we found that was that persons in our control group were realizing that they could just mark no sex, and then that way they can skip the questions and then get their incentive at the end, which was kind of unfortunate because I would have liked to have seen this longitudinally. It's also possible that racial pride reduces sexual risk behaviors through other mechanisms not explored in this study. So I received some reviewer comments and feedback from my colleagues as well. And so looking at Lagrange multiplier post-hoc analyses, we found that self-efficacy actually went and undercut the intention-behavior relationship and actually had stronger effects, interestingly. And the racial pride effects were actually even higher than we thought had we just basically left out the intention-behavior relationship, which is interesting. I'm not really sure what that means. It could be that maybe there's some embedded intention already in self-efficacy, and sometimes we just do what we're good at, right? And also our sample might not be representative of all African-American men who have sex with men and women with histories of incarceration, given that our sample was recruited solely from Los Angeles County. And I know that there's going to be questions for later, so thank you.